with our special guest tonight, Dr. Doom, Major Ed Dames, as we talk about surviving the kill shot right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. That story we're following at the Brussels airport, they're saying multiple injuries after two blasts rock the airport. That's all they know. I gotta believe, Ed, it's terrorism, but who knows, huh?
Well, we can know. I mean, we're talking a week and a half's worth of work to look at all, to recreate the event and to track back in time everything that happened. We used to do this in the military with aircraft bombings. How did the device get on the plane if a device was put on that kind of thing?
So we can do that. Good point. Lots of hate out there on this planet. Why, Ed? Why is it happening?
I don't know, but analogously, when the Columbine incident happened, I had to ask myself, okay, what's going on here? Because that was the first time in history, recorded history, where you have an event where children are killing children. And I started in terms of, you know, metaphysically, I started thinking maybe there really is this idea of good and evil, and I began to look at that ideationally to see if it existed and what was behind it. So I think, and there was, as above, so below type of a thing. So, you know, we're spiritual beings having a material existence, as the New Agers say, and I guess I'm one too now, and because we're only here for a little while, and there are other dimensions, transcendentally speaking, but that's for another day.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Look, we're going to take some phone calls with you, Ed, but let me ask you about the kill shot one more time, too.
Of course.
It's my impression that you're holding back for a reason in saying everything about this kill shot. Am I reading you there, too?
Yeah, it's just the number of people who are going to die, and I mean, that's beyond even what Dr. Doom would like to talk about. So that's why I'm reticent, and George.
Okay, let's go to some of the calls here. We will start by going to Mike in Ohio. Welcome to the program, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Major Ed.
George,
I got a couple of news blips for you. Probably won't hear on the news.
Okay. Yeah, what do we have here?
I know someone at Cuyahoga County Emergency Management. They're moving their total management facility out of the city center, out to the county lines. They had that scheduled previously, but they hurried it up because what you're not going to hear in the news is they're concerned about somebody pulling a local EMP at the time of the convention. And if that happens, county communications is only 2 miles down the road from the convention center. Where they're moving to their location is about 20 miles out, and it's also closer to the military arsenal.
Huh, okay.
So you're not going to hear that anywhere.
No.
So the two power plants, nuclear power plants on the lake, First Energy owns them, they're giving priority status for hiring for HR to discharged military veterans with active reserve service.
They're looking for more people who can guard that place, I bet.
And they are stepping it up.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that the military discharge, their persons that are military discharge that are getting hired there, is at a rate that exceeds anything I thought would happen.
All right, good.
Okay. I just want to let you all know that. And have a wonderful night, George. You put a great program out. Thank you, Major Ed. You have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you.
So if you were to take the assignment to look at the Brussels airport, what would you try to look for, Ed, with these explosions we're talking about?
Yeah, this is where the experience comes into too. There's elegant algorithms that in mathematics, and an experienced expert remote viewer can know how to solve a problem faster than an inexperienced one. So the first thing I would do is look for a photo of a smoke or anything that is an artifact of the explosion, or a photo of the explosion itself, and that becomes an event. So we don't qualify the event with any, that this is where we start the project out. We just remote view that particular event, and by the time we're done, after about an hour and a half of work, the last piece of paper we have on our table, and this is how remote viewing works, you have a pen and paper, and you have a protocol that we teach. The last piece of paper we call a site template, and in that site template, the site template is a diagrammatic representation of all the essential elements about the problem and its solution. So we look at that site template, and in it, diagrammatically, we see the explosion, we see people, we see structures, all the contextual stuff are there. And then anything that we don't recognize in the diagram becomes suspect. We say, okay, here's something we need to look at. And it may be a device, it may be a person who placed the device, or both. So that's, and then we turn all of our attention on those things, and if it's a person, where is that person right now? Who is he or she affiliated with? And but the location thing is important, because that's what I end up passing on to authorities.
And when you look at the kill shot, are you talking about something planet wide or just over the United States? Where is it?
No, planet wide, because our planet has a magnetic field, and the magnetic field is greatly affected. There's two things, and the government, I said, already has a plan to protect themselves, but you aren't included. You and I are not included. We are on our own. But the two things to really be aware of, the key things to look for before you really need to get out of Dodge, is an X-10 solar flare. That's probably the beginning of this ensemble I'm talking about. And we don't know how long it's going to last, but that's a big one, and that may be followed by much more greater ones. But the other thing that we're looking at is, and I've said this for many years, the beginning of the kill shot sequence appears to be accompanied by a large passing space body, big one. Now, this is important because in October of 2014, a comet Sliding Spring passed close to Mars and blew away part of the planet's atmosphere. It caused such damage to the planet. That kind of thing, that's the kind of thing to look for. When a large passing space body is coming into Earth's orbit or near Earth orbit, I don't know whether it's a comet or whatever, then we are in trouble, in very big trouble, because you're going to have the same type of thing happen to Earth. And the reason why this is, I stand on this, is because we have spent, Ingo Swann and the military team, Ingo, the father of remote viewing, and the military team, and Hella Hammond and Harold Sherman, the greatest psychics in the U.S., we all looked at Mars. What the heck went down with Mars? Well, in a nutshell, a large passing space body entered very close to Mars, set up a perturbation, and there's a lot of other physics involved, but magnetically and electronically, but set up a perturbation in the Martian atmosphere after it blew away a lot of the atmosphere. That perturbation bounced back and forth like a drum. You're trying to model the physics of a drum head, bounced all around over a period of about a decade. And every time it bounced against itself at various locations, part of the atmosphere of Mars was lost. And the people that lived there, and there were about three races, most of them died, but the ones, many of them went into sanctuary locations, pyramids in some locations, three-sided pyramids, and they ended up dying there. They were trying to wait out a storm that never ended. And that's what happened to Mars. So when you see a large passing space body, and we're saying, as remote viewers, that appears to be concurrent, or at least coincidental, I don't think it's coincidental, with this beginning of this kill shot scenario.
All right, let's go to Dilf in California. Hi, Dilf. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead. Dr. Doom is there.
Likewise. Hello, Dr. Doom, and hello, George. I've been fans for a long time.
Thank you.
I have an interesting, I believe, an interesting perspective on the kill shot.
Okay.
I've either lived through it already, or I've already seen it. I don't know if it was in the future or a flashback, but really, what's so unique about me is that, in a sense, I have always been from the beginning. I don't know if, you know, I'm reincarnated, or if I'm immortal, or there's an entity living within me. But what I believe, and is that what I've seen, is that the kill shot has already occurred. And the last caller was talking about what was going on Mars and how it's related to the kill shot, I believe that Earth used to actually exist as part of Mars, and that after the kill shot happened there, a group of extraterrestrials actually took us from Mars and colonized us on Earth because they realized that Mars was no longer inhabitable.
Interesting take.
Right, right. And we've recreated life on Earth, but it always follows the same exact pattern. The same exact pattern that's happened on all the planets. And I don't know how I know this. I've seen it in flashbacks. I don't know if I've lived through it again. But when I listened to the show tonight, I never knew I was going to call to the show. Well, I knew there was going to be a moment I would call to the show. And when I heard you talking about the kill shot, it triggered something in my memory. And so I'm just here to warn everybody that this is the way things are going to go, and we're sort of caught in a cycle. And, this is a cycle that's not going to be easy to escape.
All right, Ed, let's get your take on this.
Remaining Martian survivors began to die. A number of large structures, I don't use the term vehicles or UFOs or all that, structures went down to Mars above the planet. And in a way that we do not understand and probably never will, they sort of vacuumed up the vital essence of the Martian race, of the survivors who were dying, all right? And they transported that race, that genotype, to Earth. Now, it's only that genotype. And that's, today, those are the Mayan people. The Mayan genotype, the Mayan blood types are very different than anybody else. And the Mayans were an experiment. The Mayans are the most closely related to the Martians of any race on Earth. The other races, there were progenitors that actually seeded the Rift Valley. And these were, sometimes I call them our progenitors because they actually seeded the planet with human beings. They manipulated hominid genotypes and did lots of experiments. But the Mayans were different, and the Mayan race was different. They were remnants of the survivors of Mars. And that experiment did not go well for a long time.
Next up, we go to Max in Junction, Texas. Hey, Max, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Great show, George and Major Ed Daines. I had a question of whether Ed believed in reincarnation, and then what would the speed, the solar wind, be with the kill shot? Thank you.
The speed, it's not like the traveling speed of light. It takes a couple days for that to get here. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah. On any coronal mass ejection, and it's not doesn't necessarily have to be a coronal mass ejection because there are other phenomena on the sun that can produce the same type of effects. The X-rays that are produced, they're at Earth at the speed of light, so you're talking 8 minutes, and those are the ones that are going to take down a lot of satellites if it's very powerful X-ray flares. Even though modern satellites are hardened, Faraday type of hardened, they're still going to go out, and anybody in space stations is great danger too. Even though there's cubby holes they can crawl into, but the higher energy mass, the protons from the sun, the mass itself, that can take anywhere from 36 to 48 hours, or sometimes longer. It depends on the escape velocity, whether or not there are back-to-back eruptions, pushing against each other. The physics are complex, but that mass, you have time. That's why I say, if you see an next X10 flare, think about going to your sanctuary if you're already divined that fast, because I think that's the beginning of the sequence right there. But the mass itself, if this passing space body, whatever it is, does the same thing that comet Sliding Spring did to the planet Mars in 2014, there goes our magnetosphere. The shields are down, and even a small X-class flare, or a relatively small X-class flare, is going to do the dams to Earth's power grids. if the magnetosphere goes down, and it's already deteriorating just upon natural cycles. So, and the other thing is that no, I don't believe in reincarnation. I know what it is based upon, we studied it, and it's a very interesting thing. I believe in life after death, but I don't believe in reincarnation.
Oh, that's interesting. Is it because of your spiritual upbringing, or what is that?
No, remote viewing projects.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at myself. You know, do I have, you know...
Other lives, past
other
lives.
Yeah, other lives, too. And, man, I ended up on this soldier in World War II fighting an American fighting Germans in Germany. He and a lieutenant were killed trying to attack a machine gun. And, man, this guy is just like me. And I just wonder about that. But then I looked at his soul, and it's a different person. So what happens with reincarnation, why people have put together this idea, is that there have been people in the past whose personalities are such a match, such an exact match. It would be analogous to an AM radio station where you're driving your car down the road at night and you're on, like, you know, 7:40 AM, and all of a sudden you pass from Arizona into Texas, and there's another Texas station that is on the same frequency, 7:40, and you hear them both.
And you don't know how you got there.
They're different stations, but that you're still hearing them both on the same frequency, but they are different. And that's what I'm saying. Personalities in the past can be so close to ours, we think that we are them. And we pick that up. The unconscious picks that up.
Next
and
up.
And tries to deal with it analytically.
Ed, looks like they've got some real issues there in Brussels. So, wow, not good. Let's go to Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Ed Dames. It's so glad to hear you again, Mr. Dames. You're one of my favorite guests.
Pleasure.
Earlier, you briefly mentioned that your principal and primary work was for government purposes. As you know, all information and intelligence is extremely valuable. As the CIA says, it's the work of our nation. But, Mr. Dames, I believe that the espionage-related program that you and your subordinates were involved in have either intentionally or unintentionally entangled unwitting and unwilling individuals into this collective quantum consciousness entanglement, as Dr. Dean Radin would perhaps call it. And if this is the case, Mr. James, I'm sure that these unwitting and unwilling people would say, hey, wait a minute, what's in this for me if I'm the one who can do this type of activity? A question is this, Mr. James. Are you aware of any unwitting participants in these clandestine remote viewing programs? And if you are, why haven't these particular gifted individuals been paid for their work, their unique work? And I'll take the answer up there.
Yeah, no, I am not. I've heard, I've seen people before say, you know, the U.S. government is using me and I'm unwitting and blah, these kind of things. And frankly, I don't know what they even think or comment on that. But I know nothing, certainly anything that my project did when I was in charge of operations and training. There was nothing even related to it, to this idea. So I can't address it because I don't know anything about it.
Ed, we're going to wrap it up for this half hour, but we're coming back right after this break for final phone calls with you. I also want you to talk about your events where people can go and see you. Major Ed Dames, of course, as we talk about surviving the kill shot here on Coast to Coast AM. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we shall be right back with your final calls. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, with our special programs, we're going to be talking about the quest to discover how life works. I'm looking forward to that. And then how about For the Moon is Hollow, Aliens Rule the Sky. So we're going to have some great stuff tomorrow and even greater stuff with Major Ed Dames when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Major Ed Dames. This is our final segment as well as we're talking about surviving the kill shot. Ed, for people who find that sanctuary, how many of them, what percent would survive if they're in the right spot, if they can find where they have to go?
All of them.
Well,
yeah,
that's pretty good
odds.
We
made a point there in these green zones. If they're in those green zones in the personal sanctuary, survival is a non-problem. Even if they have no house, no tent, anything, if they just get there, that, but for them, unconscious is saying, go here. And there, it's 100% solid. Now, quality of life can be improved by reconning. In fact, I told you that 80% of these 700 people or 600 people in over 7 years been my clients, I've already relocated. And these places are nice places. I mean, they're really nice, nice people and all that. You would expect that. But the survival will be 100% for those type of people. And when you get into what on the map you see as orange zones, those are tolerable. The quality of life goes down. But the dark to bright red zones are survival is problematic.
Okay.
The gray areas on the map that people get, those are that's unknown. That we don't know because I haven't had clients in those areas end up in those areas. But there's a lot of factors involved there. For instance, China. Let's go back to Australia. I told you there's only one band in Australia of the zone that has green long-term survival areas in it. Well, there's some pretty practical reasons why that's the case. Water is the most important thing, especially when you have high-energy protons coming down to the deck and heating, adiabatically heating the Earth's atmosphere. Water dries up. Glaciers disappear. So water is the key thing. The next thing is population densities. If you have a great area, but the population is high. Let's say Singapore, for instance. Let's say Singapore is survivable, but there's not enough resources present for the autochthons, the indigenes, to survive because there's too many people for too few resources. So all these permutations and factors come into play when your unconscious says, go to this particular place.
All right, Ed, let's wrap things up with final calls here. We'll go to Lake Tahoe, California. David's with us. Hey, David, go ahead.
Morning, George.
Morning.
Honored to talk to you, Major Ed Dames. I'm a big fan, and I had two quick things you could do probably handle very quickly.
Okay.
First, I'm in the Lake Tahoe area. Is that I kind of cashed in my chips and made that my semi-retirement area.
Your sanctuary. What do you think,
my
Ed?
Sanctuary.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you right there before the second part. That's a good area. The only thing it's a good area. The only thing you have to worry about are other people, because people in that area there, if folks get desperate, they will pull out their guns, and you'll have some people don't work together there. They're of a different mentality. It's a beautiful, beautiful area, but you don't have people who cooperate like farmers do, helping each other. So that's the only thing you have to be careful for. And if you have to be on watch 24/7 to protect your land and your family and all that, there's no time to educate your children. There's no time to grow crops to eat. There's no time for yourself to forage or fish because you always have to be watchful. And that's not the case in places like where George Noory should end up when things hit the fan.
Okay, my other quick thing was, you see either of the front runners having a surprisingly strange interruption, like maybe one of them get taken out or something like that.
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, I can understand that. I don't like talking about that either, but...
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Let's go to Ed in Philadelphia. David, thanks, by the way. Ed in Philadelphia, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to ask Major Dames if he had remote the imminent U.S. presidential election, if Donald Trump had a chance, or will he be pushed out? Also, is the kill shot, is it planet Nibiru or the star Nibiru, which I believe is mentioned in the Bible or Bible code? Thanks, Major Dames. I'll take the question off the air.
I haven't looked at the next presidential election. I haven't been interested, because regardless of who wins, we all keep losing as you know, citizens of this country. It doesn't matter who wins. They're all owned lock, stock, and barrel, well, probably with the exception to a certain degree of Trump. But I have not looked at who wins, and I told you what my gut feeling is. There isn't going to be an election, but that's just a feeling. And in terms of the Nibiru Planet X, we don't know what that large passing body is. And we can explore the concept of Nibiru, but not Planet X, because Planet X is a neologism. It's a creation, just like Killshot. You can't use remote viewing to target Killshot or Planet X. Nibiru is a different story, because it's been in the dictionary, the lexicon, the thesaurus of the matrix, the universal mind, for quite a while. So there's something there. But we would have to explore it as what we call a topical search, because we don't even know what the question is. So we go in with six remote viewing probes on the topic of Nibiru, just like we did with the Unabomber for the FBI. It's just a topic. And see if we're dealing with anything that's consistent. If it's consistent and it deals with a large planetary body, then we can look at it some more. But that's how we'd have to research it. All I know is this is a big thing. I don't know if it's a comet, a planetoid, or whatever.
But you're convinced the Killshot itself is something from the sun.
Oh, absolutely, George. Now, don't forget that the core of the Earth creates the magnetic field for our planet. And there's a linkage with the sun right there. So it's not the heating effects and the damage to power grids, and not all power grids worldwide are going down. Not all satellites, communication satellites, or GPS systems are going down. GPS systems will be greatly affected. So forget navigation for long periods of time. But not everything goes down at once. If it did, there wouldn't be any personal sanctuary locations.
Let us now go to Bill in North Dakota to get things going here. Hi, Bill.
Thanks, George. Major, I got a question. You coincide greatly with Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help and Mothers. It's a Fatima continued. So I was wondering what you thought about some of this stuff. And you can
About the Fatima... about
Fatima continued. The prediction here is... she predicts this Sierra Veronica saw a massive comet break apart and a huge piece strike the sun. And then it's got some other things there. SMWA.org, St. Michael World Deposit.org, they have a pamphlet on the warning, and it says there will be a tremendous explosion and the sky will roll back like a scroll, like a fiery scroll, you know? So I was just wondering what you thought about that.
I don't know how to correlate with the Fatima prediction, but we do know that years ago when we were researching this event that we now call the Killshot, we know that there are many warring parties, particularly in the Mideast, that look up in the sky because the atmospheric events in the sky appear to be unprecedented, at least in recorded history. Maybe the Chinese, in terms of the dragon and things like that, have something similar. But the effects in the sky seem to be extremely frightening. And even the warring parties say, hey, I'm going home. And they actually depart, and the wars stop because these people, their priorities change because of things that are happening in the sky.
I thought for that meteorite that blew up over Russia last year and a half ago, that might have been something, but 1,400 people got injured in that one, Ed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I'll send you the info on that. John in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, John. You're on with Major Ed Dames.
Well, hello, Major. My name is John. I came across a document a few months ago regarding an interesting. I'm not really sure what it is. They don't really know what it is. I'm actually in the military, and I came across this document, as I said, of a very large object moving through space towards Earth, but they can't get a fix on it. The weird thing about it is it's changing vectors, it's changing speed, it is changing every little aspect on a daily basis, and they can't get a pinpoint on when it's going to arrive or what it is, for that matter.
Is the document
classified?
Is the document classified, John?
Parts of it were, but the parts that I was able to relay to you just now were not.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but if I had any hook on it, I could use that as an anchor point, a remote view, but I don't.
You have had problems depicting time in some of these remote viewing sessions.
No.
Why is time so difficult?
Because the way that we intellectualize time is not the way time really exists in time space in dimensionally. It, it we have this linear concept of time, just like our Western languages have. We linearize everything. For instance, speech, the concatenation of subject, verb, object, and that's how we transmit verbal ideas one to another. And but even the concept of numbers is different in the Matrix. There is, yeah, 1 and 9 and 8. They exist in the universal mind, but they're not concatenated. 1 is not less than 8, and 9 is not more than 8. They're just in different places, and we discover them, and then we arrange them in some fashion, in some system and database. But it's not the way time really exists in terms of the Matrix. Events exist outside of time, and there's a lot that we have to learn about ourselves and other dimensions, and I'll talk about other dimensions on some other show that are very interesting. But time is not the way we perceive it.
Anna in San Diego, California, you're with us now. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hi, George. Ed Dames, to begin with, you're wrong about the police in Aruba. I am from Aruba, and we have a Dutch system there, a Dutch system law.
Did you say you're from Europa?
I am from Aruba.
Oh, Aruba, okay.
And you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry to tell you that, because the police are not corrupt. They have a Dutch system there.
We had to suspect that we could not trust them because we operate in many places of the world and the police are corrupt. So
not in Aruba, they are not.
All right.
I grew up there, so I know what I'm talking about. You don't.
Okay.
I'll
take your word for it.
And also,
but we don't take any chances.
Well, they wouldn't recognize you there because you are nobody there. You know, they don't.
I think that's a non sequitur. But yeah. Whatever you say.
Well, I don't know about that, though, Ed. I think there's corruption everywhere.
Yeah, we don't take any chances. We can't, because I didn't want my guy to land in jail or worse. Because corruption is everywhere.
I mean, I will say, because I love police officers, that 95% of them are fantastic, but you got that element in every area.
Yeah, I had a case. I agree with you about the police too. You know, they are our friends. But I had a case in Oregon once, a missing kid, and one of the police officers, one of my operatives, asked me, "Ed, who are you passing this information to?" And I said, "Well, you know, this particular officer, the sheriff officer." And there was silence on the other phone. And he said, "Ed, this guy's been implicated in a child pornography ring." So you live and learn.
Yeah, you sure do. Let's take some final calls here. Nathan in Colorado is now with us. Hi, Nathan. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I was just calling in to see maybe what you thought about the western slopes of Colorado. I live down there by...
I'm going to have to ask you to get off the speakerphone, Nathan. Can you get a little closer to your phone?
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Oh, yeah. Sure thing.
Okay, yeah, I was just calling about the western slopes of Colorado as far as... the kill shot and the martial law and things like that.
As a sanctuary?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are pretty well informed, and it's a lot of farmers and ranchers as far as where I live, so it's pretty tight.
Well, the western side of Colorado would put you in the Rockies.
I can answer that question. It's not optimal. It's okay, but it's not optimal because the population densities are too thin. You have to be – there's not enough people. You have to be in a community where you have a wide skill set. We've got doctors and dentists and mechanics and people who can trade skills, and the population density there is very thin. So only for that reason, it's not optimal.
How long will this tragedy occur? Some say, William Forstchen, who's been one of our guests, he's written several books about X-flares and EMP attacks. 90% of Americans, he predicts, and they predict, would be dead within a year, Ed, if this thing is prolonged. Any idea how long it could last?
Well, I don't know how long, but I have to agree with you say he was a guest?
Yeah, he's been a guest.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. It's such a sad thing. I don't think 90%, but a lot of people, just a lot of people. And the key, again, is starvation, not enough fresh water, starvation, water, and the Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, everything goes. Everything. You can't even pump gasoline.
Can't pump gasoline, can't flush a toilet, can't use an ATM machine.
You won't get running water.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
James
no,
and...
But you have to realize that that's if the power grid goes down. And the parts of our own country that are most exposed, and parts of North America that are most exposed, are the northern climes and Canada in terms of power grids going down. Many, many places, you know, in the southern part of the U.S. will never experience a grid. I don't want to say never, but it will be less likely that they'll experience power grids going down. However, they will experience no communication and martial law.
Yeah, that's true. James in Kingman, Arizona, let's get you in real fast, James. We've got about 40 seconds for you. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Bless y'all. Right on. Cool things. Hey, Major Dames, I met a girl in Russia, and she's coming here on her first vacation this week. I was just curious. I've lived in Europe. What can I get her to surprise her when she arrives?
All right. That's an interesting take. About 20 seconds left, Ed.
Flowers, always.
Flowers will do it, huh?
Always.
I love it. And Tom was telling me he met her on ParanormalDate.com, our website, so that's cool. Ed, keep in touch. Your website's got your events, which are in Vegas, sold out, Seattle, Orlando, and Austin, May 21st, 28th, and July 2nd. Ed, take care of yourself. Major Ed Dames, of course, one of the nation's, one of the world's foremost remote viewers. And this kill shot thing bothers me, of course, but you just got to be ready. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.